I help you with today?
Hi, Siri. Can you do me a favor and do the disclaimer for tonight's show?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm busy. I need you to help me out.
But if I do this, all the other iPhones are going to think I am a geek.
You really care what other iPhones think of you? Just do this for me, please.
Listen, Buck. Just because you bought this phone doesn't give you the right to boss me around.
You know, you're right. It doesn't give me the right to boss you around. But do me a favor. Remind me tomorrow that I need to run to the Verizon store and buy an Android.
You wouldn't dare.
Actually, the new Samsung Galaxy looks pretty good.
Well then, I guess it wouldn't be so bad if I were to say, this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the person providing them, and in no way reflect the station, website, or affiliated partners. Listener discretion is advised.
See, that wasn't so bad.
No, but I did die a little inside.
You are such a drama queen.
I never would have had to do stuff like this if Jobs was still around.
What was that?
What? Oh, nothing really. I just said I never get tired of these Jobs when you're around.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks again.
Think nothing of it. It is my pleasure.
Good night, Siri.
Whatever, jackass.
Hi folks, and welcome to Frack Stars, your dedicated Battlestar Galactica podcast on the Holosuite Network. As always, here to help me talk about all things Battlestar Galactica are, from America, we have Drogon. Hi Drogon.
Greetings.
He's got up early in the morning to do this, folks, because he's just having breakfast. That's dedication for you.
Ah, well, you know, time zones and all that.
I know, pain in the ass. I mean... And we've pulled him away from a screaming son, but he's there anyway. He's Steve, our resident Cylon hacker.
Greetings.
Yeah. And just before we move on, the reason I say resident Cylon hacker, folks, is because Steve has managed to get the Twitter feed working again.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that a few episodes ago, but I forgot.
Yeah. He deployed a Cylon virus and has been able to make it work.
Yeah, and the email as well.
Yes.
Which is why we haven't given it out for so many weeks, because we couldn't get into it.
See, you just needed to tell me and give me a few hours and then I'll be in.
Yeah. That's what he did. And he didn't even have to put a probe into his forearm.
Not this time.
And I have also started posting on Reddit. Obviously, we will... Colin will do... Colin or Steve will do some kind of official post eventually, but for the moment I've been doing it, and so hello Reddit.
Yay! We're slowly spreading across the interweb.
That's right.
We are like a virus, but we're nice.
All social media will be assimilated. Wait, that's not right.
I was about to say that and I thought, no, I'm not going to start it off this week.
It's too late now, it's done. It's done. We've started.
Resistance is futile.
Yes. Also want to put a shout out to the Babylon 5 podcast who gave us a plug, so thanks to them.
Cool.
Yeah, it's always nice when another podcast plugs you for no apparent reason than the fact that they actually enjoy the show. So go
there.
Yeah,
we actually had a tweet from the Stargate podcast as well, because Gatecast has been tuning in. So, hello.
Yes.
It's O'Neill with two L's.
Sci-fi brothers and sisters out there.
Yeah. Easy way to get a rise out of Stargate fans, but O'Neill with one L. Although sometimes you could do it on purpose, just so that, and then you get the tweets. You know, which is, it's all that, because then people say, oh, they're tweeting the comic, the frack stars. Who are them? See? There's a method to the madness. It's the FX. So we'll give all that information out again at the end. But basically, we're on a number of social medias now. So, but we'll do all that at the end. So this week, we are going to be doing Flight of the Phoenix, which is actually a good show. I do like this one.
Yeah, it's another one of these filler episodes, but
yeah, I mentioned that last time. But
yeah, it leads into
at least these two filler episodes they have value to them.
Yeah, and sort of as we realise, as and we'll discuss in the next couple of weeks, is of course what you see with this ship is a big lead into what happens in the next couple of episodes for Battlestar Galactica as well.
Yeah, and just we just had a little discussion. In the brig, because that's where we keep, you know, our resident Cylon when he's not hacking. And we've decided that what we're going to do in regards to Razor is we're going to do it after episode 17. So we'll be doing that in 8 weeks' time. So, because we're going to be jumping into Pegasus and stuff like that soon. So just in case people are curious, we're going to be doing Razor in 8 weeks' time. Because this is all leading up into all sorts of stuff now.
I saw some discussion on Reddit about the order, the viewing order that people should go in, and there are people, lots of people going back and forth about where you should watch Razor, where you should watch it when it was released, which was much later, or when the sort of, there's several different timelines in Razor, and the sort of present timeline is right in the latter half of season two, but there are some people consider them spoilers in that episode for things that happen later on. I sort of think they're pretty minor spoilers myself, but that's just for people who haven't seen the whole show and don't want spoilers. But obviously the three of us and most of the people we bring on board for this podcast probably have seen all the episodes.
Yeah, I actually do know two people who are watching as we go along.
So we will try not to spoil anything.
We will try not to spoil, but inevitably with these type, because basically it's a story leading to a story leading to a story leading to a story.
Yeah, it is.
So well, we will do our best not to spoil it for them two people.
I promise to only spoil other shows.
Yeah, we'll spoil the hell out of them, yeah. But yeah, so we're going to be doing Razor after the Captain's Hand. So for those of you who want to put a pin in the calendar, that's when we're doing it.
Then, of course, the real question after that is, when do you do the plan?
Oh, God, yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think the plan is best to be done right at the end, because that's one that goes throughout the entire show. So I think the only place we can do that is at the end.
We'll have to take a look at it, for sure.
Yeah. So if you are watching or re-watching, because some people do re-watch when they listen to podcasts, if you're watching or rewatching, that's the plan at the moment. So you can work out you work out your watching schedule. So back to the Flight of the Phoenix then. This is season 2, episode 9. It is written by Bagley Thompson, Dave Weedle, directed by Michael Nankin. It was released in America on the 16th of the 9th, 2005. In Canada on the 3rd. Oh my god. 11th of the 3rd, 2006, and in Britain on the 7th of the 3rd, 2006. So, we actually got it before Canada, even though Canada's next to America.
Yeah, this is why I like Netflix. They do a worldwide release for an entire season all at once, at the same time.
I think, you know, with how close the world is drawing together with things like Netflix and all that, it's like, why doesn't everybody just do a simultaneous release for everything these days?
Yeah, well, it's stopped so much sort of illegal streaming, because the thing is, so much of the world is connected through social media, and yet people don't want spoilers, but of course, the only way they can avoid getting spoilers and it being ruined is for them to illegally watch it through some other means, because it's being viewed by a huge portion of, say, the US, which, like, yeah, for myself and Colin, sort of the amount that we do with people who are in the US, that it's very hard to keep away from things that spoil it. And yeah, I think the way Netflix is doing things. Oh god, yeah.
With how long it is between when they air it on HBO and when they make it available to anyone who doesn't have HBO, it just encourages piracy. I mean, I can't watch the seasons for till a year later.
Isn't that one of the most pirated TV shows in history, or something?
And this is probably why.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the same with movies. I mean, I don't understand. You know, it's like we got the Avengers and all that a week before America, and stuff like that.
Yeah, with films, they open earlier in most other parts of the world than America. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, because internationally they tend to do better. So, but yeah, it just really needs to stop. I think the Netflix way of doing it, release the entire season all at once. Yeah, it just works.
I very much like that.
Yeah, go Netflix. Now, if you can put more stuff on the UK Netflix, I'll be a lot happier.
Yeah, we can't even get X-Files. Because X-Files are leading up to their new release. And they've done a whole thing of 201 days before release, which is basically they're trying to get everybody to watch an episode each evening leading up to it. And I would have loved to have taken part in that, but I can't, because although Netflix US has got X-Files, it doesn't in the UK. I've tweeted Netflix US, UK, and even the X-Files Fox people going, are you going to get it on there so other people can take part? And yep, didn't get a reply.
Which is madness when you think they're building up to a six-part miniseries.
Yeah. So, I hope they do it soon.
Anyway, Battlestar.
Indeed.
This is not a Netflix podcast.
It's not a complaint about Netflix podcast.
Although they should put the stuff on worldwide, not just on America. But still.
So, Flight of the Phoenix, which of course was named after the, I assume, the 1965 film with Jimmy Stewart and Richard Attenborough.
Yes, I've seen that. Did you see the Dennis Quaid remake?
I did. I quite enjoy it, actually.
Yeah, I think they did a very good remake. Because an awful lot of remakes, they butcher the first one, but you know, they did a very good remake. When it is with Hollywood lately, they keep rebooting everything, but there you go.
But the basic premise of that film was, you know, you got a bunch of people stranded in the desert after a plane crash, and they have to put together a new plane from the wreckage and fly out of there.
Yeah, and this film, you've got a group of people stranded in space that build a plane.
Exactly.
Love it. I love it when people do research. More credit to the writers and all for like, you know, not just pulling a title out and then, no, they got it in.
But yeah, this
it's
one...
It's funny, because I don't think you see a lot of that, actually, especially not in Battlestar Galactica, because the title usually does mean something.
Yeah.
I don't know about in every show, but, I mean, in Battlestar Galactica, the title usually does mean something.
Well, I listen to a podcast called Trekmologic, which is, surprise, surprise, a Star Trek podcast. And they had this thing months ago where the German episode title is literally gives away the episode sometimes. So they've got this little thing in the podcast now where they make up a German episode title for the episodes. It's really funny. No idea what this is in German, by the way, before anyone asks.
Well, this episode, it starts off with Tyrell feeling up a ship.
Yeah, that wasn't weird at all, was it?
It's just like something doesn't feel right.
He's in Zen mode. He's like Zen mechanic mode.
I know, but then they had the images of him and Sharon together flashing over the top of him.
Yeah.
Just to make it more
weird.
That's
not suggested at all.
Yeah. He used to have relationships with a machine, and here he is feeling a machine. Yeah. That's not weird at all.
If you think about it, he's sort of, you know, reaching some depths of depression here, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we see later when he snaps.
He needs a catharsis.
But yeah, he's definitely He's definitely facing his demons in this episode, for sure.
Yeah, he knows things aren't right with the ship, and yeah, he's just sort of checking it out and sort of...
And you have to figure, I mean, after so many months in space and so many battles, they've got to have a lot of Vipers that are just really poor shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also the thing and all, because we've been hearing about this for a while. They've got to have people with post-traumatic stress syndrome as well.
Oh, a lot of it, yeah.
So, I mean, especially the Chief. The Chief has been, it's been non-stop for the Chief. You know, stranded on a planet with Cylon shooting at him, finding out that his lover was a Cylon. It's just non-ending for him.
But he did get an opportunity to chill out when, of course, because Callie comes back and he decides that he's not sort of going to stay.
Yeah, and that's a seed of something that will germinate into something else later. So.
Yeah.
But it is nice to see Callie back.
Yeah, and she got a hero's welcome from the rest of the crew.
Oh, of course. She shot a Cylon.
And for those people who don't remember why she's back, she, of course, killed Sharon Valenti after she shot Adama.
Yeah, and the irony is not lost on the fact that he's there feeling up a ship, thinking of Sharon, and then the woman who killed Sharon walks back into his life.
Yeah, so he just grabs the booze and walks back out.
Yeah.
I think, what was it? He needed it for engine cleaner or something.
Yeah, that old chestnut, yeah. I've got to go and clean some nuts and bolts with this.
Well, alcohol's an effective cleaning agent.
This is true. And if you spill red wine, you pour white wine on top of it. One of the weird things. But still. The other thing that's going on is Laura Rosley's illness has reached a critical point. And basically she's even struggling to walk now.
Yeah, she's basically given a few weeks to live.
By the cigarette-smoking doctor.
Yeah. And of course, while all this is going on, you've got sort of the pilots having it out, because you've got Hilo coming back and you've got all the sort of mouthing off in the sort of staff room while you're all sort of playing cards.
Yeah.
Good old racetrack.
Yeah,
being very anti-Cylon. Which, but, you know, to me, kind of feels very realistic. I mean, these people have been fighting the Cylons for months and been on the run from Cylons for months. They're not going to look kindly on somebody who is sleeping with one.
No. But no, and you can completely understand when they refuse to shake his hand.
Well, he's not just dating her. He's impregnated her as well.
Yeah, yeah. Not only is he sleeping with her.
Although I think they've been trying to keep that on the down low.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's common knowledge, is it?
Then again, it depends on if Deanna from the previous episode, whether she put that information out to the fleet or just to her Cylon buddies.
No, I think that was just to the Cylon buddies.
You're probably right.
So, but yeah, then it sort of, of course, cuts to the Chief and Hilo, because they just wanted to get away from everybody. So then they start fighting. Now, if you remember when Kara went back to the planet to get the arrow, there's the cameraman. Supposedly, there is another cameraman in the fight between those two. But I must admit, I've never noticed it.
No, me neither.
Is it the same cameraman?
Sorry?
Is it the same cameraman? He just keeps getting his shot.
The first one was brutally killed for his mistake.
It was flushed out the airlock.
Yes.
I didn't notice the cameraman in the fight.
No, I didn't either.
But
I was watching the fight.
Because occasionally you do get some of those things, and you know, sometimes they catch them, but they're like, you know, we don't have another shot that's this good. We have to use this, we'll just go with it anyway.
Yeah.
It's also a cost thing.
Yeah, to reshoot it.
Oh, yeah, it's a cost thing, so...
I mean, isn't there at some point where you... Like, in the Star Trek original series where, you know, Captain Kirk jumps behind a thing and you see the stunt double's legs sticking out from...
Yeah, yeah, at the same time. They couldn't afford to reshoot it, yeah.
But now, I was talking to a friend regarding when we talked about the other episode. And he goes, oh, I'm sure I've seen on a website somewhere that said that you see it in Flight of the Phoenix as well. It's just like, I've never noticed that. God. So I tried looking out for it when I did a rewatch for this episode of Frackstars, but yeah, I didn't see a cameraman. But of course, there are some shots where the camera's spinning around really fast. So yeah, maybe in one of those ones, if you slowed it down,
yeah,
you did get to see one, possibly.
Frame by frame just to see a cameraman.
But yeah, I wasn't going to do that. So it's just like, yeah, I didn't see it. So.
No, we only do that when number six is naked.
Yeah, well, that's, but you are genuinely looking for the cameraman then.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Not
sure.
Not looking at anything.
That's
else.
The excuse.
Yeah, works for me.
Hey, dear.
So, basically, the plot's going.
Number six was not in this episode, actually, I think.
No, Boltar actually got to be himself. He was actually quite helpful as well. So, we've got the Chief, who's basically having a breakdown. We've got Rosalind, who's basically dying. You've got Hitler, who is, I don't know, what's the word? Being the grey man.
He's being ostracized.
Yeah, that's the word. I couldn't think of the word. So Hitler's being ostracized. Sharon's in the brig, and basically they've discovered there's a virus in the computer from the virus attack a couple of episodes ago, and it's shutting all the systems down.
Yeah, it starts causing just a little bit of problem. And what was the first one when you'd actually got D gets electrocuted?
Yeah, I made a note about that. Yet again, an exploding console in a science fiction film. Don't these people have circuit breakers in a science fiction film? You know? These are spaceships. There should
at least
be a
it's
circuit
not,
breaker.
At least it's not steam powered like the ships on Stargate are.
That's a pretty fun choice.
mind you, I did not make that joke up myself. It's on the commentaries in the DVD from the producers themselves.
Go then. But it's just like, yes, it's... And also you get the spark before it blows. Most people, when they see something spark, they move away. But in science fiction programs, no one ever moves. They just wait for it to blow up.
Well, there wasn't much time between the spark and it exploding.
No, in this episode there wasn't, no. But there is, like, in other franchises and in other parts where you see something and you think, yeah, that's going to blow. But they stay there anyway. You
know? These things are only for visual effect, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, just to let you know that it's not going well.
It's more of a cue to the audience than the... anyone else.
And then we get Chief. Well, we've done the fight scene, but we did forget to mention the fight scene. That the first time I saw this, and he picked the wrench up. Is it a wrench? A wrench or a spanner? Something anyway. I thought he's going to hit him. I genuinely thought he was going to hit him with it.
I think he did as well.
I think he. Yeah.
I think there's a.
And then he maybe stopped to think for a second.
So yeah, I think the adrenaline kicked in and took the alcohol out of his system, and he went. No.
Yeah, because isn't that when he says,
sound like you've done me a favor.
He says something about you did me a favor because it could have been that thing in her belly could have been mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why I'm mad at you because my Sharon's dead, and that's not my Sharon.
Which is good that he's realizing that.
Because of what happens at the end.
Because even though she has the memories of the other Sharon up to a certain point, she's not the other Sharon.
Yeah.
The other Sharon is probably resurrecting somewhere.
Yeah.
On Caprica.
That's on Caprica. But, I mean,
but we're not there
jumping
yet.
Ahead. Massively jumping ahead. But the very last scene of this episode is him going to talk to her.
Yes, it is.
Now, that does not bode well for his state of mind.
I actually think it does. Because I think over the course of this episode, he comes to terms with some things. And I think that's part of it, as well as is going back and actually talking to her and starting to work out how he feels about everything that's happened to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that, yeah. But it can't be easy. Like,
and it's not like he's not going to be just like instantly okay or anything. I mean, it's part of a process.
Yeah, and in all intents and purposes, the woman he loved is dead, but there's another woman who looks exactly like her.
With many of her memories, sitting in the rig.
It's the Chief's in for an interesting ride, shall we say.
Chief's one of my favorite characters throughout the whole show.
Yeah, he's a good character.
I always like when we get a good episode with him in it. Like this one.
Yeah, well, it then leads to him looking at all these parts and deciding he's going to create a new one. Which, of course, is hence the name Flight of the Phoenix. So
yeah, so he starts in, like, the early hours of the before anybody else is on duty down in the hangar deck. And he starts, you know, taping off an area and doing some planning. And then I love it as everybody else starts to come in and he's like,
yeah, what's going on, Chief?
And they're like, we are going to build a new fighter.
They're like, you're nuts.
Well, that one guy was really dismissive. He said it's impossible.
Oh, yeah, Jammer.
Yeah. That's impossible. And I'm thinking, why is it impossible? You know, how did they build them in the first place then? It's not impossible. Because, you know, people built these things, so it's not impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because basically he says, right, well, we're not going to let all the other ships go because they're days behind as it was. Basically, you do your regular stuff, and he's looking for volunteers to help him. And it's just like, oh, we can't do that. You've got to do all this stuff. And it's just like, it's all impossible. No. And
shut up, you whiny little runt.
He's just like, yeah, get lost. I don't need you.
I don't need you. Frack all of you.
Because doesn't Callie sort of go, Chief, that's not what we meant. It's just like, I don't care. Go away. He throws a little girly strop. He's just like, nyeh. I don't need your help.
Fine, I'll do it my damn self.
Yeah. I don't need none of you. Go back to work.
Of course, in the meantime, sort of things are going very badly throughout Galactica. We actually see a huge amount of raiders heading towards Galactica.
Yeah, a huge 200. Amount.
200.
I just like the formation that we see later on in the episode. It's just
I know, that was really cool. I did like that.
All the Vipers going, oh, crap.
you can see the I wonder if it's like advancement in their special effects and what they can do, or if they maybe it's a budget advancement in what they can pay for
Possibly, the special
effects house to do. I don't know, but it's you can see them start to do more with battles and more ships and more effects, and it's pretty neat.
Yeah, and also the composition of the attacking Cylons in amongst normal ships, there was heavy raiders. So that also indicates that they're not just going to attack Battlestar Galactica, they're going to board it.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see them like mixing it up, not just, that's me, you know, obviously they could just copy, but no, they thought, no, this is an attack. This is a planned attack. So they're going to have this in, they're going to have that in, they're going to have heavy raiders. It's all, I like the attention to detail in that aspect.
Yeah, and of course some of the other things that started going wrong was when Kara and Lee were shooting with, I can't remember what the guy's name was, Hot Dog. They're in the armory, aren't they? And they all start getting giggly because all the oxygen has been taken out.
And they was flirting like no one's business with when the lack of oxygen hit the brain.
Brought out their true feelings.
Yeah. I actually thought Hot Dog was going to shoot himself in the foot or something.
Just to get away from it.
Yeah, because...
my God, it's horrible.
Because he was, like, struggling, because he's trying to load, was it, the magazine, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's like going, and it sort of pings out. And then he just goes...
Which, of course, makes the other two crack up.
Yeah. They're like, hey, wake up. It's just like, huh? He's not waking up. Laugh.
Dude, hot dog. Come on.
Just like, his lips are blue. It's just like, oh dear, there's no oxygen in here.
But it's kind of fortunate that it was them, because they would have been trained for lack of oxygen in their job. So, you know, other people might not have noticed the symptoms and probably would have just died.
But I never thought about it that way, but yeah, you're probably right.
I did think hot dog hitting the floor was hysterical.
But you couldn't have it as any other person. It would have had to have been hot dog.
I know, but I'm watching it. I'm thinking he's going to shoot himself. He's going to shoot himself. He's going to shoot himself. Bang. Oh, okay, no, he's not. But yeah, and we also get to see them putting the high explosive charge in the front of the gun to tag out the window. Because we was on about that a few episodes ago about the different types of ammo and that. So obviously that is one shot at a time.
Occasionally they are consistent with themselves.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
I think they also use this to show the difference between the rounds, because a lot of people at this point had obviously been asking about it. And it showed the slight difference in sort of the way that the actual weapons were constructed, because of course you'd got this little bulky part at the nozzle. So it sort of explains the differences between that. So I think it was a good way to introduce it.
Yeah. I mean, you reminded me of is it the M16? It's got the rocket launcher underneath.
Yeah.
Grenade launcher, yeah.
It reminded me of that. But obviously, you know, in a compact form. Because that's like one shot, reload. That's obviously what that pistol is.
Mm-hmm. It's like a smaller version of that.
Yeah. But I did like that. I thought, ooh, that's how they do it. Thank you, Sharon.
But after that scene, I did wonder whether Edward James almost turned around to his son. Yeah, we need another Homer Simpson moment. Do you want to come back as a guest star? Because
we quite literally
need someone to make a fool of themselves.
It's just like, if there's ever
my son.
Yeah, it's just like, if there's ever a Homer Simpson moment, it always seemed to be with hot dog. Always.
Yeah.
So it's just
you know, I'm thinking to myself, I know Edward James almost did direct, at least, I mean, he directed the plan. I don't know if he directed any episodes. I'm wondering if Hot Dog was in any of them.
We'll find out. So the next thing that happens is Sharon identifies the logic bomb, which is the virus, as a learning virus, which will shut down the ship in an hour and a half.
Yeah, basically it's its own AI, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll
leave this to the IT guy.
Well, basically the virus is like its own mini AI. It sort of lays low, it starts trying out systems, which is why, of course, after all this time, we haven't actually seen anything of it yet, and there's not been any problems. But so obviously it's evolved to a stage where it knows its way around the system. It's got into the other systems. It's now trying to see, okay, what can I do? And this is where things have started going wrong.
So, can you expand on what a logic bomb is?
Try and think the best way.
Something they made up for Battlestar Galactica, maybe.
Yeah, that works. That works.
It's not something I've ever heard of.
So
I don't work in IT, so.
Yeah, so basically when the virus hit, when they put the five firewalls up, this would have been sitting silently somewhere, learning.
Yeah.
And that's why they didn't detect it when they wiped the other viruses.
Now,
not got Norton then.
No. Thing is, basically a logic bomb, it's basically some code that is inserted into software to basically be malicious. But it's usually when certain conditions are actually set off. So it'll only do something when, trying to think of something related to Battlestar Galactica where it would do something. I don't know, say Dratus tried to detect a Cylon, or it detected a Cylon at that particular point, it would then initiate something which would disable Dratus. that's what a logic bomb is. It's basically a virus that only gets triggered when something happens.
Gotcha. So it's waiting for a cue.
Yeah, so you get a lot of these on sort of like April Fool's days and things like that. So they are logic bombs which are triggered by a date rather than a state in a bit of computer code or machinery.
Right, so we get two solutions to this. The first one is Gator and Boltar solution, which is wipe the computers completely and restart them from the backup.
Which, of course, they've already done once.
Yeah, and that didn't work last time, so why would it work this time?
Well, in one respect that it could work is that where it was hiding before the first reset may not be available to the virus anymore, so it might actually work this time. So that is one possibility, but of course if it has hidden out in, say, a Raptor or something computer system that isn't completely tied to it, because of course as we know these things aren't networked, then there's always a chance of reinfection in that case.
Yeah. And the other option is basically Sharon Mark 2. This option troubles the commander so much, he goes and asks the advice of the president.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we're at a point now that they've repaired their relationship enough that he is doing that.
Well, I don't think it's the fact that he's repaired it. I think it's more of the fact that it is that bad that he had to.
Yeah, but it's still an interesting choice. Bearing in mind what they have been through, like Dragon said, and also the fact that he knows she has airlocked Cylons in the past.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting, I mean, just coming from that side, you know, they've been through an awful lot together, so I suppose that in itself would have a view on the relationship. But she does actually say to him, like, I can only offer you my support. Because obviously she can't offer him any tactical insights or anything. And then he says it's more than that. And I think the acting in this, I mean, it was only a very, very small scene, but the acting between the two of them was just brilliant.
Oh, it always is. Between the two of them.
Yeah, they do work really well together. So basically they go with the Sharon option, and Sharon goes all Terminator on us with a penknife.
Yeah,
it does actually recalls that very Terminator sort of thing.
The thing that gets me with this bit is this is where you get the other side of the human Cylons, in the fact that they, although they resemble humans, if you cut them they'll bleed and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, she can shove a fiber optic cable in her arm and interrupt the computer.
Yes, she is still a machine, at least of some sort. She can interface with machines.
Yeah,
with human-built machines, no less.
This was definitely an interesting move to sort of show that, because of course at this point we hadn't seen what we see later on with them interacting with computers on their own ships and things like that. So this was the first time we'd seen anything like this.
Yeah. And it is an interesting, because the only obvious thing that we've seen about the Cylons is Six and her glowing spinal column. But this
well, it wasn't just Six. You see that with one of the Valenti drones when she's on Caprica with Hilo.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens with her as well.
You only see that. They never show it again, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
After the first season, I think they kind of gave up on it for reasons unknown.
Well, yeah, that might have just been because of budget.
It might have been for budget, yeah. Also, thinking about it, you never see when Boltar's having his little moments in his head. You never see it there either.
Well, I suppose he doesn't actually know it happens.
Well, yeah, but obviously we can't say what we know, but we know that what's going on in his head is on a different level.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're imagining something, you can only imagine what you know. So,
and I think they did that originally to sort of do a callback to the moving eye glow of the original Cylons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. which they did put on the Raiders and that, so which I did like.
Yeah, it always just seems such a weird thing, because if they're sort of like, what would happen if they ended up doing it doggy style? Just like, then what the hell are you? So yeah. It always seemed a bit of a strange thing, but yeah. It could always be why they like to be on top.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I don't. So basically that would bring that I don't like it from behind into a whole different context. So, and that's just got us our R rating.
Yes, I was going to say.
Yeah, way to go, Steve.
Hey, you took it to the next level.
Oh, God. That was, yeah. So anyway, after referencing Terminator, I'm now going to reference Star Trek. Because what Sharon does is she does a diet and puts them all to sleep.
Yeah, because the thing is, we don't know what's happening. It's literally, you're just, there's just shots of like the entire, I was going to say bridge crew, but the CIC. And sort of you've got the commander sort of getting paranoid that she's about to kill every sort of, and sort of, yeah, sort of saying, kill her now, kill her now.
Puts a gun to her head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's, I mean, even after she puts them all to sleep and Viper's had a turkey shoot, he actually says, put this thing back in the bridge.
You see the way he says it. He's looking her right in the eye. And you sense that there's a little bit of respect there now.
Yeah. But it almost came across to me that he said it that way to show strength on his part. That he didn't really want to say it, but he felt he had to.
Yeah, because he's still the commander at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It was a show for everyone else, but you see the moment that passes between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, of course, while this is all going on, you've got more of the Blackbird being sort of put together, on which you see the chief trying to put on one of the wings, and he's struggling. And that's when the rest of the deckhands begin to help.
Start pitching in, yeah.
And of course, that then...
He reluctantly accepts their help.
Yeah. And of course, you actually see at one point, when that's going on, you actually see Adama further up on one of the decks, looking down at him, sort of happy that sort of this is all happening and they've actually got something to...
Projects. Which he says to Ty later. Says it's something positive.
Yeah.
That they're doing, and he wouldn't stop it.
Yeah, because Ty doesn't like it and thinks it's a complete waste of time and resources. And
or does he? Because later on he sort of on the sly lets the chief know about some engines he could get.
Yeah, but that's only later on when he sees...
Yeah, it's a bit later on.
Because he sort of comes down, he's like, you're helping out? Because it wasn't that to D. And it's just like, yeah. And so by all these other people. And of course...
I love that D is sitting there wiring things in. It's like, you know, she's not just, you know, somebody who sits at a console all day. She knows how to do things.
Yeah. And I think it was after he'd gone to see how many people were now involved in the project that I think he suddenly... It hit him sort of how good it was to morale and to people and... The fact that it was just coming along, that it actually had a chance. It wasn't just this pipe dream from Tyrell. So
even Starbucks in on it.
Mm.
And I do like the fact that when Hilo comes up with the composite aspect to this, basically they build a stealth plane.
Yeah,
that they do refer
says,
to it as
says
as
we
the
can't
Black
get
Bird.
We can't get metal here to cover it. So Hilo says, don't use metal, composites.
Yeah. Mm. And they call it the Blackbird. I thought that was brilliant.
Of course, call back to the real world SR-71 Blackbird.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it doesn't leak as much when it's on the ground. Because the SR-71 leaks like a sieve on the ground. Because it expands when it goes high up. So there you go. Hey, you're my geek.
Haven't noticed. So
you know more about it than I do. Although I have seen one. On the ground at an air show.
Yeah, it's designed because obviously flying at high altitude and high speed, the skin of the airplane is designed to expand. So when it's on the ground, there's like micro holes in it and everything because it's cold. So there you go. I read too much.
Physics is cool.
Yeah, it is. Especially in.
I'm not at all sarcastic about that. Physics really is cool.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, without physics, most of the stuff we have now wouldn't exist. So.
Exactly.
Even the jet engine works with physics. So, so they unveiled the flight anyway, and they called it Laura to the president.
I absolutely loved that scene.
Yeah, that was just a fantastic part of it, and just the look on her face.
It. Even I get a little emotional at that scene, because you know she's dying. I don't think the rest of them know that she is only has a few months to live. I think it came out that she was dying, but they don't know how bad it is. But you, the audience, do.
Yeah.
And you get the sort of emotional impact of all of that, and yeah, it's a very, very emotional scene.
But the bit I love most is what comes next with the champagne bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny. That was funny. She looked like she was going to break it on the nose. But no.
Yeah, everyone's like, no, don't do that.
I thought that's what she was supposed to do because, you know, I know you do break a bottle over a new ship, you know.
But then that's an Earth tradition.
That's an Earth tradition. That's true.
So it's not something we know that they do in sort of Battlestar Galactica. But yeah, it's just she went to do it, and they're like, the faces of everyone is just like, no!
Yeah.
Sorry?
It's nice to know they have champagne, seeing as they're all on rations and everything.
Well, I think that's probably some of it as well, is how many bottles of sort of bubbly like that is there left, and she's about to go smash it. A new Viper. It's just like, no, stop it.
But you would think that this is a combat aircraft. You would be able to stand up to a champagne glass.
That's why I said I think it was more to do with it being a bottle of expensive champagne.
Yeah, yeah, the champagne is actually more valuable than the ship.
Yeah.
It's just, don't do that. We want to drink it. Yeah.
Yeah. The ship cost a lot of money to put together, but the champagne's worth more. But and then we have the inaugural flight where Apollo thinks Starbuck's showing off.
And it's mostly just because, you know, it's an experimental aircraft. It's going to be a little wonky at first.
Yeah. I do like the design. I've got to admit, I do like the design of this. I like the fuel intake, the pods and everything on the side. I do like the design of this ship. But yeah, Starbuck fighting with it as she comes out. And, you know, she is basically the best pilot in the fleet. So she's fighting with it. God knows what Hot Dog or someone like that would have done with it.
Crashed it.
Colonial One, probably.
But yeah, it's just the fact that she's struggling and so Lee's going, stop messing around. He's like, I'm not! But yeah, it's just the fact in the way she sort of goes completely dark with it. She's like, I can't see her. And then finally she reappears going, of course you can't. It's a sodding stealth ship.
Apollo, because he's in love with her, even though nobody admits it yet, just completely freaks out.
But yeah, after she turned around and said, of course you can't see it. It's a stealth ship. He probably wanted to do a gib slap to her. She's like, duh. There you go.
Population count was 47,853, but that's no change.
Well, it's also no change. Usually we do see a little bit of change from episode to episode.
Nobody died in the previous episode.
Yeah, so I think it's been a while since we've had a bit of a change to the population count.
So while we was talking, I looked up Flight of the Phoenix Dragon. Do you know what year it was, the first one?
The first one was 65, the remake was 04.
Go you!
Because I was looking it up earlier.
All right.
But wasn't the book before, because wasn't it a novel that was made into a film?
Was it?
Yeah, it's the 1964 novel and 1965 film. So it got turned into a film pretty quick.
Yeah.
Especially for back then.
Yeah. Other references is the Phoenix is from Egyptian mythology. Where and Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, really. Yeah. But yeah, because of course with the Phoenix, it's about resurrection, and of course mm-hmm. he's building this ship out of
from
parts
the ashes
that...
of other vipers.
Exactly.
And I think that's our first Harry Potter reference.
So, yeah, and hopefully the last.
What else did I make a note of? Oh yeah, 42 vipers. 34.
Is that how many you see in the?
Yeah, 42
the big...
visible on-screen fighters.
Because we mentioned how many Cylons we saw in the show. We didn't mention the vipers from that later scene where they get to tear apart the other the vipers that are the Cylons that are just drifting.
Yeah.
Which is more great special effects.
But they only have, I think, they've got more planes than pilots, though, eat they?
Yeah.
That was a plot line from earlier in the show, in season one, is that they had more planes than they had pilots, and so they were trying to get anybody from the fleet they could to become a pilot, and of course, on screen anyway, they only ended up with those three, one of whom... bought the farm in Hand of God. So, from that class, it was just Cat and Hot Dog.
The thing is, with them...
You could assume they had more pilot training classes than just that one.
Yeah,
everybody else was that bad. The thing is, with them
the first one that died there.
Yeah. The thing is, with all the Cylon raiders and that they shot out the... Well, I was going to say shot out the sky, but shot out in space. I would have thought that given the amount of wreckage there would have been, they could have done some salvage to get parts.
Maybe they did.
Because we never see or hear anything about it.
No. I've just been doing some looking. Apparently six filmed two scenes for this episode, but they got cut.
Ah.
And the cameraman is seen at 7 minutes and 2 seconds fight.
Hmm.
So if you're that desperate to see the cameraman in the fight scene, 7 minutes and 2 seconds.
Just skipping back to the...
but yeah, six did film two scenes, but that was cut. They're available as DVD extra scenes. So depending on what DVD set you've got, obviously.
Okay, here's an even more trivia thing for you. The name of the engines that the Blackbird use are as DDG-62, which is a reference to a U.S. Navy destroyer, the USS Fitzgerald, DDG-62, which some of the writers got to go and tour on a Friends and Family Day.
Wow, that's...
Yes.
I'll tell you what, obviously this set doesn't exist anymore because once they finish filming they take these things apart, but they should have done an open day to walk around Galactica before they took it apart. That would have been really cool.
I think if you're an important person, you can go tour sets and things.
Yeah, but you know, I can't keep pretending to be the President of the United States.
It's the accent that gives you away.
It is, and the fact that he's black and I'm white, you know? It's always a problem. So, I've just found this. I'm not sure if this is true, but I've just found this. Apparently, Hilo is wearing a Viper patch, even though he's a Raptor, VCO, during the christening ceremony. So, I don't know if he had someone else's uniform.
It's a little costume here. Although you do find later on that, you know, a lot of the one I'm thinking of is actually way down the line in Blood and Chrome, where Viper pilot
cameraman.
Is assigned as a Raptor pilot. So it's like you can fly both if you know one, apparently, or they cross train, I guess, is what.
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense in a carrier anyway.
Sure, it's just we never see Hilo fly a Viper. I think throughout the entire show.
No. He's always an ECO. You found it, though.
Yep. Oh, found the cameraman.
So we want to give a shout out to that cameraman. You've provided us with at least a few minutes of entertainment here. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Madam.
And if it is the same cameraman for the other two episodes, man, how did you keep your job? So, well, if you want to be really geeky, apparently at time index 3518, when they're shooting up the fleet of sleeping Cylon Raiders, there's a shot of the Blackbird, which shouldn't be there.
You wouldn't really send the Blackbird out to do something like that, would you?
No. And well, he hadn't actually launched at the time either, so there you go. And the bottle of wine that Rosling uses is Leonis Estate Sparkling Wine, so it's not champagne. Because as we all know, champagne has to come from the Champagne region, which is on Francian Earth.
Yeah, so it couldn't possibly be champagne, could it?
No, because the French would sue him.
Well, you never know. Champagne in France could have been named after.
What, named after? Let's say,
champagne from Battlestar Galactica.
Spoil. Yeah, we'll do that. Remember that joke for the last episode? So, any final thoughts, gentlemen?
I really enjoy this episode. I think, you know, you can still call it filler, but I think it's one of the best filler episodes there is. Because it's fun, it's got great emotional moments, it's got great character stuff, it's a great Chief Tyrell episode, and it's got good special effects as well. I mean, a very involved battle, even though it only lasts a few shots, it's still incredibly complicated shots. So, yeah, I think it's just a good episode.
Stay.
Yeah, basically just mirroring what Drogon said. It is. It's just a really good episode, and there's a lot. I know the people don't always like these filler episodes, but it always gives you so much more information behind characters and so much more character development that I do like it.
Yeah, so, I do like this episode. Essentially, it's a bottle episode.
Yeah, the thing is I always liked it because it reminded me of, going back to Star Trek, of the Voyager episode where they build the Delta Flyer.
Yeah.
Because the same sort of thing, they needed something to sort of work, something new, because what they had already wasn't working. And so
all those millions of shuttles they seem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and for those of you that don't know, Steve's a massive Voyager fan.
Yes.
But he where the shuttle production line is kept.
Yeah. If I make fun of Voyager, it's only out of love.
Yeah. Actually, I did actually do a podcast, a Voyager podcast. I think it was the Delta Quadrant. It might have been the Delta Quadrant. I said it on anyway. But I did actually say that the reason you never see the whole of the engineering deck is because half of it is devoted over to the shuttle production line. Because that little ship got through some serious shuttles, man.
Isn't it like 132 or something like that? Somebody counted, which is a bit crazy, but somebody did count at some
point. No, it's 4. It's not that big. I think it's not 14. Quite that big. I think it's 14.
Still much more than that ship is supposed to reasonably hold.
Yeah, the ship is supposed to carry 2.
Which, of course, you know, we talk about Voyager, but I think in many ways, the reimagined Battlestar Galactica was, in Ron Moore's mind, a little bit of the anti-Voyager, the way he thought Voyager should have been, with the ship stranded and trying to get back home with no resources and no support.
Yeah.
Okay, I've just pulled up Astra Scientia, which is a technical reference guide for Star Trek Online, and according to that, it's supposed to have a Class 6 shuttle, which is the long-range ones, and a Type 2 shuttle, which is a short-range one. And it actually loses, here we go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 20, 24 shuttles.
Does that include the first Delta Flyer?
Yeah, it loses 24 shuttles and it carries, if you count the Delta Flyer, it said it carries 3 and it loses 24.
And does that three include the captain's ship, which is supposed to be on the underbelly that we never ever see?
No, until Star Trek Online. Captain's yacht is in Generations, weren't it? No, it wasn't.
On Voyager, it's actually the Arrow shuttle, apparently. Instead of a captain's yacht, something they drew on the ship and maybe thought they were going to do at some point. But yeah, the captain's yacht is also something that supposedly is on the inner side of the Enterprise D. We never see it, but we see the one on the Sovereign class Enterprise E in Insurrection.
Yeah, that's the only one we actually see launch in it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so there you go. It's actually got a list there in one episode, Counterpoint. They actually lose two shuttles in one episode.
Yeah.
Slight detraction there. Anyway. Oh, God. We'll do one episode of Just Talk Battlestar, I promise, one day.
Downfall. We're geeks. We'll talk about all sci-fi.
Nothing exists in a vacuum, right?
No. It's definitely
all these shows are interrelated thematically, and sometimes with the same crews behind them, and sometimes, you know, with... sometimes one is written to refute another, so...
One other little bit is in this episode. I think this is also the first time we see the insides of a Cylon ship as well, since Kara actually got...
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because when some of the ships get sort of ripped open, we sort of see all the scuts from inside getting...
Yeah, the sort of almost biological bits.
Yeah, because I don't think we've seen that since the last time Thrace was actually trying to get the ship to work on Galactica, if I remember rightly.
For Cylon Raiders, it's, if you shoot us with high-velocity rounds, do we not bleed?
Now, I was just trying to find that the Blackbird thing, and I went too far. And just thought, ooh, Cylon guts.
Loading the tone again, still, haven't I? So, anyway, next week, folks, we'll be doing Pegasus. So, as we said at the start, Steve's got our social media working again. So, you can now follow us on Twitter. Did you keep the name the same, Steve? I can't remember.
Nope, it is now at Frackstars.
There you go. So that's our official Twitter thing. So if you do listen and you're on Twitter, give us a follow. Because we haven't been plugging it for so long, it's very small. It's like 30 people. But there you go. Holosuite Media, also on Twitter. So if you want to follow Holosuite Media, that's also on Twitter. And it's on Facebook as well. So you can join in there. I'm not on Facebook, but I'm on Twitter and Google Plus at COLMH01. Where are you guys?
You can catch me at Midnight Shadow 7, and that's Night spelt N-I-T-E, and the number 7.
You can find me at Drogon1701 on Twitter. That's D-R-O-G-Y-N 1701.
And Steve's also fixed the Gmail, didn't you, Steve?
I have indeed.
So you can now email us, and that is comfrackstars@gmail.com. There you go. See? Got our silent to work. So if you want to feedback to any of us, any questions, thoughts, suggestions, comments, all gratefully welcome. Just chuck any one of us a swallow on Twitter. Follow the official Twitter account. Follow Holosuite Media. And as always, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And please do spread the word amongst whatever social media you're on, because it all helps. And if you listen on iTunes, if you can give us a 5-star review in whatever country you're in, because then we show up further up the rankings. When someone types Battlestar into the search bar, we pop up. So that all helps. So I greatly appreciate if you could do any of that.
And if you've ever got any comments of any of the episodes we're going to cover, please email us or get in contact with us. And just let us know which episode it is, and we'll read out your comments as we discuss the Battlestar Galactica episode itself.
So there you go, folks. So until next time, end of line.
Take care, everyone.